Jake Trotter covers the Big 12 for ESPN. He's kind enough to take a step away from the SB red carpet to speak to us right now. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hanging out, man. Having a good time. And anxious for the start of college football season. This sort of dead period in the summer is no fun for anybody. But with SEC Media Days, Big 12 Media Days, Pac-12 Media Days, all those things coming up, it gives us a nice little break in the wait, I suppose. Let's start with Baylor.
A couple more days of vacation, and then it's all over.
Yeah, let's start with Baylor, if you don't mind, as we talk about the Big 12. We're kind of going around the country and talking about power teams and other conferences, and Baylor has obviously had a huge shakeup in their football program from just a season ago. I saw that they've hired a new athletic director. How does this school, how does this team, and how does the conference handle the transition away from Art Briles?
That's a complex question. And the answers are different at every level. I mean, I think in the immediate term on the field, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Baylor. You know, it's a team that's going to have obviously a lot of distractions. They only have 70 scholarship guys or so because of the mass exodus from their incoming recruiting class. I think it was 10 of 22 guys left. They also lost Jarrett Stidham, who's one of the top young quarterbacks in the country. I don't even know if he would have started or played much this year, but when you have a starter in Seth Russell who is coming off a broken neck and, you know, one hit away from being injured, it's nice to have a guy like Stidham there. After with him gone, I don't know what they really do at quarterback. It's not a very deep team. It's a team that's going to have a lot of distractions, but there's still some talent there. And, you know, I don't know if they can be a factor in the Big 12 still at full strength. They would have been picked to finish second in the league right behind Oklahoma. I think most people feel like they might be fourth or fifth. So that's number one. Can they compete this year? It's going to be very tough for them long term, though. I mentioned the recruits that have left the signing class. They only have, I think, one commitment for 2017 right now, and it's going to be very difficult for them to recruit, particularly without, you know, a clear cut vision of who's going to be the head coach long term. And then you have the institutional issues with the Title IX, the lawsuits. They hired Mac Rhodes to be the athletic director today, so that's one step in that direction. But it's very foggy right now, both in the immediate future and in the long term. And I mean, I think there are serious questions as to whether Baylor will ever get back to the level it was at during the Art Briles tenure.
Jake, you mentioned that Oklahoma is going to be at the top of the Big 12, at least to start the season. That's where everyone expects them to be. How big of a gap is there between them and the rest of the schools in the conference heading into 2016?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. I mean, the last few years we've had, you know, we've had a debate about who should be the preseason Big 12 champion. You know, last year you could have said Oklahoma or Baylor or even TCU, or Baylor or TCU. The year before that, Oklahoma or Baylor. You know, I think this year it's pretty obvious that Oklahoma is the class of the league, at least on paper going into the season. You know, a backfield that's the envy of the Big 12 and Baker Mayfield and Samaje Perine. They're going to have a pretty good defense again, particularly in the secondary. And, you know, part of it is that Oklahoma looks very solid, but part of it is that the other teams have questions. I mean, I mentioned all the things that Baylor is going through. You know, Oklahoma State has some really interesting options and weapons offensively, but can they play defense consistently? Can they run the ball? They had one of the worst rushing offenses in the country last year. TCU's got quarterback questions with Trevon Boykin gone. Texas, a lot of young talent, but they have not put it together in a long time. And, you know, again, it's a question mark at quarterback. So I can poke holes at all the other contenders. A lot harder to poke holes in Oklahoma. You know, who knows if they're going to make the playoff or go undefeated or even win the Big 12, but they're the surest bet right now, I think, by a clear margin.
Buzz starts around this time of year on certain players, right? We knew Leonard Fournette was great at the beginning of last year. Going into this year, like Sports Illustrated and everyone else putting out their best 100 players list and things like that. Where does Baker Mayfield, Samaje Perine, and some of the other big talents in the Big 12, where do they fit in like the grand scheme of best players in college football?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mayfield and Perine are probably, top 20, top 25 players. It's harder. It's very difficult to compare across positions. But I think Baker Mayfield is one of the five best quarterbacks in the country, and I think Perine is one of the, five to seven best running backs. So, I think that they're two of the premier players in the country for sure. So Oklahoma's got blue chip talent offensively. I think the question is, are those guys there on the defensive side of the ball? They don't have a Tommy Harris or a Gerald McCoy or Roy Williams. They don't have a clear cut, preseason All-American defensively. But it is a solid team at every level. They have experience at every level. And I think their cohesiveness could be their strength this season.
Last couple of years have not been what Texas football generally is. I mean, since the appearance in the BCS National Championship game a couple of years ago against Alabama, it's just been a down program. Is this the year that Charlie Strong finally rights the ship and gets them back on track?
Yeah, it all hinges on Shane Buechele, to be honest. And there's a lot of pressure to put on a true freshman quarterback, but that's been the difference in Texas being a 10-win team and being a 6-win team these last, 4 or 5 years dating back to Colt McCoy. The pieces are there everywhere else. They got two terrific running backs, a rising receiver in John Burt, one of the three best offensive lines in the league. They're loaded with talent along the defensive line. Malik Jefferson at linebacker is the preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year as a sophomore, and they got NFL talent in the secondary. None of it matters if you can't play quarterback, though. So I think it's going to come down to whether Buechele finally proves to be or finally gives Texas the long-term answer at quarterback that they've been searching for. And the other part of the equation is the early season schedule. I mean, they play Notre Dame right off the bat. They go to Cal. They got to go to Stillwater and then play Oklahoma in their first five games. They could actually be better this year and be 1-4 very easily. So they need to play well, and I think they need to have some success on the scoreboard and some luck. I think for morale reasons, because at 1-4, given the trajectory has been a little bit stagnated, I think under Strong. There would be, I think, a lot of pressure and some questions really start to rise about whether, he would be back in 2017 if they start 1-4. I mean, conversely, if they can get that big win early on in the year, they could be off and running. And if you're looking for a dark horse contender in the Big 12, it very well just might be Texas. A lot of people get sucked in on Texas, year after year because of the recruiting classes, and then they disappoint. I think this really could be the year that Texas breaks through finally.
Jake Trotter is our guest on O'Connell and Swinney talking Big 12 football. He covers the Big 12 for ESPN. I don't know how important the answer to this question is, but it's a fun conversation to have. Every year it feels like we head into the season assuming that the SEC is going to be the best overall conference in college football, and then the Pac-12 tries to make its case for second best, or the Big 12 tries to make its case for second best. The Big Ten is looking pretty strong. Do you think that we're going to get a little shakeup in the sort of conference power rankings? And where does the Big 12 fit in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think the SEC is obviously number one. They've earned that, based on the success they've had over the last decade. I mean, I think after that, it's open for debate. And we're talking about on the field. We're not talking about off the field and the money, the TV contracts, because the Big Ten is about right there with the SEC. But in terms of on the field this season, I mean, I don't know that there is a clear number two conference. Baylor, their decline this offseason has probably hurt the Big 12 in that argument, because if Baylor is where it's been, now you got four potential top 15 teams, which is pretty strong. I don't know if that's the case anymore. The Big Ten with Ohio State and Michigan and Iowa and Michigan State, that's a pretty good foursome right there. And the Pac-12, a lot of firepower. And then you have, Stanford and McCaffrey and UCLA with Rosen, some star power there as well. So I don't know I haven't really given it a lot of thought about who is the second best conference, but I do think that You know, even Clemson and Florida State, although it's very top heavy there. I think that's something that may be determined on in the non-conference. For the Big 12, I mean, this is probably the best non-conference schedule the league has ever played. You know, some of the opponents include, you know, Ohio State, Arkansas, Pitt, Arizona State. You know, I could go on and on. You know, Missouri, BYU with West Virginia. So it's certainly an opportunity for the Big 12 to earn a lot of respect on the field this year and make the case that they're the number two conference, which, you know, that matters when I think the playoff committee convenes. I think conference strength matters whether they admit to it or not. And the only way to boost the perception of your conference is to win games in the non-conference.
Can adding two more teams, two solid teams, help boost the perception of the conference, assuming those are good teams? Or the Big 12 has come out and said that they're not interested in adding anyone at this time. Is there a time frame this is going to happen? Because it seems like at some point they're going to have to add two teams.
Yeah, they're actually convening about this next week at the tail end of media days. The presidents and chancellors are going to get together in Dallas. I don't get a sense that they will vote to approve expansion. But then again, I was surprised that they moved forward so rapidly with the vote to add a championship game at their last meeting a couple of months ago. You know, it feels like expansion has lost a little bit of its steam because the conference network option is off the table. David Bourne, one of the reasons he championed expansion so aggressively is because he felt like that was going to be a requisite to form a conference network. Now that doesn't make sense logistically and financially, which the league determined through their consultants back at their meeting in Dallas a couple months ago. You know, now it's strictly a financial and strictly a competitive argument, which I think, you know, frames the debate through a different prism. Now you're looking for maybe the best football programs versus maybe you might have been looking at the best, you know, market opportunities for a network. So I don't think the issue is dead. I don't think it'll necessarily be dead even if they don't vote to approve it next week. But I do think that it's lost a little bit of steam from where it was, say, 4 months ago.
If we're having this conversation at the middle of the season or even the end of the season, and I ask you who the best player in the Big 12 is, who's that going to be?
I think it's probably Baker Mayfield, but he's going to have some competition just for Offensive Player of the Year in the league. I mean, Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech is a rising superstar. You know, Baker Mayfield might not be the best player on his team with Samaje Perine right there next to him. You got James Washington at Oklahoma State, who I think is a dark horse Biletnikoff candidate after his first two seasons in Stillwater. I don't know that there's anybody defensively that's in that debate right now. Big 12 lost a lot of defensive talent last year, and Emmanuel Ogba, Andrew Billings. So I think you're probably going to find the answer to that question on the offensive side of the ball. And I just think based on what he did last year, you know, Baker Mayfield has to be number one going into the season.
Kansas has exactly two conference wins over the last five seasons. They just need to isn't to relegate this program at some point. Why has Kansas football been so bad, and why can't they turn it around?
Yeah, they had the great run under me and Gino, and then they made two really poor hires, particularly the second one in Charlie Weiss, which has completely sunk the program. I mean, I don't know if you guys realize this, but you know, Kansas doesn't just have a talent problem. In fact, I think I can make the case that the talent problem is second to the numbers problem. And they only have like 60 scholarship players because of the recruiting practices of the Weiss era, in which they took so many JUCOs on. And when those guys were gone, they had this huge void on their roster. So it's going to take them three or four more years just to get back to 85 scholarships, the way that you can only take so many per year. So, I mean, that's number one. You know, number two, they've got to get better players. I mean, there's no all Big 12 guy on their team. There's no maybe second team all Big 12 guy on their team. They have a little more talent this year than they did last season. And if David Beatty can gradually, you know, improve the quality of the roster year after year, they're not going to win the Big 12, you know, maybe in our lifetime. I mean, they got a long ways to go, but they, I think that they could gradually, you know, get back to being respectable in the league if they just continue on the trajectory we've seen so far under Beatty in the development of the players he has, and also the players that they've been able to bring in. That said, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they go winless. I think they play, I want to say they play Maine or Rhode Island, one of those two New England schools, and that school is not good at all in the SCS. So they should win one game this year, but after that, I mean, they're looking down the barrel of 1-11 again, and it's just, it's tough. I mean, everybody in the Big 12, I mean, even Iowa State, you know, has all Big 12 players, and when you're outclassed on the field in talent every week, it's really hard to find, you know, where that one or two wins is going to come from.
That's Jake Trotter, covers the Big 12 for ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter. Jake, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Jake.
Okay, guys.